This is Confidence on the Go with your host, the pink-loving, unicorn-chasing, caffeine-fueled student of fitness and confidence, Trish Blackwell. This is a podcast community that celebrates life and pursues living a life worth telling a story about. You have uncommon potential within you, and you're in the right place to unleash it. Here's your host, Trish.
Hey guys, it is Trish Blackwell. You are listening to Confidence on the Go. This is episode number 78. Today we're talking about fitness myths busted. Many of you know that I have a personal training background, and we don't always talk about fitness on the show, but there's so many, secrets to personal training that I need you to know. I feel obligated to share with you because I want to educate you. There's so many myths out there about what is healthy and what is not. But not only that, there's so many distractions out there and media representations of what we are told health is that are often so manipulated. And I know that I personally struggled by seeing some of these images and thinking that they were realistic or attainable. And I want to share with you some of the secret insider knowledge tips that you really only learn when you're a personal trainer of how people get to these results. So I'm really excited to share that with you. Like I said, I don't always do fitness shows, but I've gotten just enough questions from you guys, from the audience, that I realized that we need a show that's dedicated to this. Fitness is one of my amazing, just core passions, and I'm excited to be able to share that with you. First, I hope you had a great week. I certainly did. My husband and I went down to Virginia Beach, and my sister-in-law, my husband's sister got married. She got married on Friday in a beautiful ceremony that overlooked the ocean. The weather held out. It was this gorgeous fall day. It was perfect. And for those of you out there, I'm gonna be a little nerdy and let you know that it was kind of cool because it was a very small wedding, probably only 60 people, maybe 70. And one of the attendees was the actor Terry O'Quinn. And if you are familiar with Terry O'Quinn, you'll know that he is from the show Lost. He plays John Locke in Lost. He also is one of the main characters in my absolute favorite childhood movie. I don't know what year it came out. I want to say 1989, The Cutting Edge, that movie about an ice skater who falls in love with a hockey player and they go to the Olympics. He plays the dad on that. So it was, you know what? It was just cool to see a real actor in real life and just him be normal, and just to realize that at the end of the day, we are all the same. And I know you know that, but sometimes, and I know I've known that, but it takes some refreshing every now and then to see someone and interact with them and realize that, they're just like us. There's just because someone's in the spotlight more than you might be, doesn't mean they have anything more to give to the world than you. It was just a very good way to put it into perspective that we all have a voice. We all have a great purpose. We all have an impact that we're called to make in this world. And the more that we can authentically be ourselves, the more that purpose and that mission shines. So before we roll into these fitness myths, I do want to give my weekly shout out of thanks to those who have left a 5-star review in iTunes for this show. As you know, those reviews in iTunes are how more people stumble upon the show. So if you're new to the show, I want to thank you. I want to welcome you to this community. This is a community that we celebrate growth. We celebrate personal growth, personal acceleration, and we also celebrate one another's successes. And whether those are baby steps or giant leaps of success, every movement forward, every step in the right direction is moving the needle of our lives in the right direction. So I want to thank Becca 007 for her review. Also want to thank all of my new enrollees and participants of Breakout. We're starting an amazing session for the next 30 days. So if you're out there listening, I'm really pumped to have you. You guys know I'm emailing you right now as well, but give you a shout out for just taking action on your life this month. It's amazing, and it's truly a life-changing program, and I'm really excited to be coaching you along the way. Now let's dive into fitness myths. So the first fitness myth I really wanted to talk about was the one that really, it affected me probably the most significantly as I pursued really getting to a new level of fitness about 10 years ago. And that is that the myth is that the people on the cover of magazines look that way all the time. So when I say that, I don't just mean, I'm not talking about just photoshopped pictures on the cover of Cosmo. I'm talking about the health magazines that you pick up, Women's Health, Muscle and Fitness Hers, Shape Magazine, Self Magazine, anything where you see that you're sort of saying to yourself as you pick up that magazine, gosh, this is a healthy magazine for me. Look how healthy, look how lean and fit this person looks. That's amazing. How can I get those same results? Now, what the industry doesn't tell you, and again, I'm not even talking about the Photoshop effects that go into making that picture, that cover picture look like the way it is. What the industry knows is that those women and men, those cover models, don't look like that in real life. When I first learned this as a personal trainer, I was actually really pissed off. I learned in the fitness industry, as I watched competitors who do fitness shows, physique shows, bodybuilding shows, and photo prep, that I realized there's a very specific diet that they follow for 3 months out. Now, it's a diet that's not highly recommended. It certainly isn't nutritionally balanced. It's a competitor's diet. And if you've ever known anyone to do a fitness or figure competition, and I'm not against those, they're just not for me. What happens is for 3 months out, they're very, very strict. It's very, very strict protocol you follow with limited sugars, limited carbs. You know, you get a coach, you get a diet writer, and it's down to a T. And then the last couple weeks and days before the show, it goes extreme. It cuts your caloric intake in half. But even more surprisingly to what you might not know, is that a few days out from these shows where these women look ripped and super toned and fit, they go into severe dehydration. There's a dehydration phase because the more dehydrated you make your body, the more lean you look, you're going to get that tone look. So these women are dehydrated when they walk on stage, they get their pictures, and then as soon as they're done, they can drink water and they gain 10 pounds almost immediately. And the same thing happens for these women that do photo shoots. And how do I know? Well, because I'm in the industry and I know women who've done these photo shoots, that literally what you see in that picture is not what they look like in real life. That just a day later, they're going to be 5 to 10 pounds heavier because they've actually drank some water. They've actually put food into their body. And you know what? It was a freeing thing for me to learn and realize that, oh my gosh, I've been manipulated by media. I was manipulated to think that that was a realistic goal. And so when I was making my own physical progress and I felt lean and my body was sort of at its perfect happy weight, and then I found myself comparing myself to the cover of those magazines and thinking, gosh, I'm still 5 or 10 pounds off from them. How do they do it? I beat myself up, but the reality is that they don't do it. It's a temporary fix. It's a temporary strategy that they get to look a certain way in a photo. And I hope that that information to you today is freeing. That these images that we see, these fitness and health images, are often so manipulated and so strategically planned that they're not actually that healthy. Even from an athletic standpoint, I think I've mentioned on the show before, and many of you know that I'm friends with a handful of professional athletes, and two of these athletes are two of my very best friends, and one was recently telling me that she was involved in a photo shoot. She's sponsored by Timex, and she's also sponsored by, I believe, Brooks Shoes. I mean, she's got a ton of sponsors and big-name sponsors, and so she was flown out to California to do this amazing shoot. In fact, I've seen some of her pictures in Runner's World or, you know, in the store, in the background of backdrops of things. Pretty amazing. But what's so interesting is even though her body was healthy, she wasn't doing any of this dramatic dieting that we talked about that you might see on the cover of a women's health magazine, the pictures that she has of her running and doing athletic endeavors, to get the two or three good pictures, there was a crew of 15 to 20 people surrounding her. She had an 8-hour photo shoot in San Diego. And out of that, she got 3 to 5 amazing magazine-worthy pictures. But it took an army of 20 to turn my beautiful friend and into this beautiful model, this fitness athletic model, where they really took probably 50 or 60,000 shots of her in that one day. And so even in the magazines that we might see, like a Runner's World or a triathlon magazine, or just even an active magazine where you see somebody running in their gear and they look so cute and they're not sweating and their hair is perfect and you think, oh my gosh, I don't look like that. I look like a sweaty pig slugging along the sidewalk when I exercise. How? And then we get defeated. But I want you to know that those pictures that you see of people being active, these models that are being active, they're also manipulated. They're not just, oh, throw your shoes on, run outside, and oh, we got this perfect picture. It's a full day's worth of work, and it takes a full army of people. And I hope that's good news for you to hear today, that the people on the cover of magazines do not look like that all the time. So it's time to cut yourself a break and see how beautiful and how fit you actually are. Fitness myth number 2 is that fat-free foods are always the best option. Fat-free foods typically mean they are loaded with other chemicals and crap and lots of sugar. So if anything, the more real you can eat, the better. And I fell into this trap for years. I bought only fat-free things for probably 3 years. And to be honest, I moved to France in 2005, and that was before France really had a lot of commercialized and processed foods. And in 2005, they didn't have anything in their grocery store. I distinctively remember a day I was walking through the grocery store thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to get these fat-free foods? They don't exist. They didn't exist in France. Period. There are some options there now. I've since been back and seen the grocery stores, but it's an amazing way to look at it, to realize how healthy the French nation was, and they're not eating fat-free things. Because you see, our bodies need fat. Our bodies need good, healthy fats. And the problem is when we're buying into the marketing of fat-free, thinking that's going to help us not put on fat. Actually, I want you to know that healthy fats help you shed fat, but you have to have the right kinds of fats. And we can go into that another time. I'm just trying to clear the myths on the baseline for you here today. But that fat-free should be an alarm to you. Fat-free is a sign that it's marketing and it's targeted at you and your brain and your poor and manipulation of your body image to say, this is going to help me stay skinny. And instead, you don't realize how much crap and chemicals and processed that food that they put into it, additives that they put in to try to get that there. They're always replacing something when they're taking away something else. So your best bet is to always just eat the real thing. Here's myth number 3. When short on time, I should do cardio instead of strength training. Okay, well, this is a twofold question answer. If you're training for a running event or a triathlon or cardio event, maybe you're training for an open water swim, or you're training to walk the turkey trot in your neighborhood, in your town this year for Thanksgiving, well, then yes, absolutely. Cardio would be important for you if you're really trying to build up your endurance. If weight loss is your goal and you're short on time, you are going to get more results from working out. Let's say you have 30 minutes. You will get more long-term results from doing 30 minutes of strength training versus 30 minutes of cardio. Now, it's sometimes hard for us to see because if you wear a heart rate monitor, you will technically burn more calories doing your cardio than you will strength training. But what many people don't know, and this is a personal training secret, is that there's something called EPOC, and it stands for exercise post oxygen consumption. So it's EPOC, exercise post oxygen consumption. And what happens is when you do strength training, your EPOC levels are sometimes upwards of twice as high as what you're going to get with your cardio training, meaning that let's go hypothetically with this half hour. In a half hour of doing cardio, let's say you burned 300 calories. In a half hour doing strength training, you might have only burned 175 to 225 calories. But because your EPOC is higher, you actually are, your body is actually over the next 3 to 6 hours going to be repairing itself. Now, anytime you ask the body to repair itself and work harder, it requires energy. That energy comes from calories. So actually, strength training, even though on the surface you might have only burned 200 calories versus 300, the next few hours your caloric burning, your metabolism is actually escalated. So you end up ultimately burning more calories cumulatively in the long run, which is why for weight loss, it actually is the better option. Furthermore, for weight loss, The secret to staying lean or to continue to lose weight and have it sustainable is to have an increased lean body mass. Your lean body mass literally just is how much muscle you have. So if I'm a 130-pound woman and I have, I don't know, let's just say I'm mostly muscle. I have more muscle than another 130-pound woman. Let's say I have 15 pounds extra muscle than someone who's the same height, weight, and size as me, but maybe we just have different amounts of muscle versus fat. So if I have more muscle than my twin, who just has less muscle than me, but everything else is the same, we can sit side by side and do the exact same thing every day. But because I have a higher metabolism due to my muscle, my increase of lean body mass, I will physically burn more calories than my twin. Doing the same thing, eating the same thing, period, I will naturally burn more calories. So in the long run, having lean muscle helps you stay lean. It will never make you bulky. Let me tell you what, the women that get bulky from lifting are working their butts off. They're women who want to be bodybuilders. So please don't think that equate lifting with bulkiness, because the more you lift, the more you're going to realize that the leaner and tighter you stay. Now, if you want to put on size and you want to get bulky, you absolutely can, but you're not going to get that way by accident. The women that bulk up from lifting are lifting 6 days a week. They're lifting single body parts, which means they're going to work on their chest and their chest alone for a full hour, or they're going to train their biceps. They're going to do 15 different bicep exercises for an hour. And they're eating such a high amount of calories, sometimes 3,000 to 4,000 calories to put on the weight for their bodies to gain that kind of muscle. So that image of bulkiness comes from very specific type of training. So when you hear me talk about strength training, please just get that word bulk out of your mind. But the reason why strength training is so important is because that ultimately at the end of the day, what we're going after is metabolism. Now, metabolism is affected by a few things: our gender, our age, what we eat, and how frequently we move. So the downside is that ladies out there, we get the short end of the stick. Men naturally have a higher metabolism than us. It's just because naturally they are more prone to have muscle. They have higher amounts of testosterone. They have more lean muscle mass. Therefore, they have a higher metabolism. So we can't do anything about that. We can't change our gender. Secondly, we can't change how much we're aging. Every day we're a little bit older. So as we age, our metabolism starts to drop down, which is why it's so essential that as we age, we actually keep our weightlifting or our strength training as an integral part of our workout routine, because it's going to help us fight against the aging process. It's going to help us fight against the weight gain that often comes with aging, because with aging, we stop moving as much. We stop strength training and our metabolism already slowing down. So it's no wonder we put on a little pudge, but you can avoid that if you are intentional about your strength training. But the two things that we do have control over are our eating and our exercise. And our exercise needs to be specific. It needs to be strength training based. You don't always have to have weights to do this. You can strength train with your body. In fact, I have an entire app that's in the iOS market for your iPhone, iPad, iPod That is a strength training program. It's 99 cents. I'm not making money off of it, but it's out there for people to do body weight training exercises. I wanted to provide a solution for people who didn't have access to a gym. So this is a 99 cent app, and it literally is strength training, and it generates 7 million potential combinations that you can do. That's a strength training workout in a small space and without equipment. So you don't need a gym. All you need is your body sometimes. So strength training can be done in a variety of ways. And oh, by the way, if you are interested in that app, it's called Workout Randomizer. So just go to iTunes and or your app store and search Workout Randomizer. And I have videos of how to do all the exercises in there as well. So we have control over exercise. And we also have control over our eating. The more frequently you eat, the higher your metabolism will be. That's why you'll hear a lot of personal trainers talk about the importance of eating consistently, eating every 2 to 3 hours. And so when I work with clients, I literally have them set a timer, have an alarm on your phone, and every 2 to 3 hours, I typically go with 3 hours. I call it the 3 hour rule. Have that alarm go off. You need to eat something. You can kind of think about your body and your metabolism as this, as a fire that's burning. So you're in the, it's the dead of the winter, and you've got this amazing fire keeping you warm. The problem is the logs that you put on the fire burn out every 2 to 3 hours. Now, if you let that fire burn out all the way, it's a lot harder to get it started again when you throw on a new set of logs. However, if you were to continually add a log to the fire as you went, it's a lot easier to maintain that flame burning. And that's exactly what's going on in your body when you feed it continually. Okay, fitness myth number 4. Oh, and I bought into this one for way too many years. I want to help somebody find freedom from this today. Here it is. If I eat as few calories as possible, I will lose weight. You simply won't. Because you know what? The body is this amazing machine, and it does not like you to go into what's called starvation mode. Yes, will you initially get a boost in weight loss? Absolutely, if you severely restrict your calories. But it is never recommended for a woman to go below 1,200 calories a day and for a man to go below 1,500 calories a day, unless you are medically supervised. At any point that you drop below that, you are putting your body at risk, and you're setting yourself up to actually become someone that stores it. You know what? You're almost, think about a chipmunk or a big old bear in the winter, and he's trying to, your body's confused, and it's because you've started restricting food so excessively, it holds on to all the fat and food that it can, and you literally will get to a point where you plateau and you cannot lose weight. Now, the double-edged sword to this is that as you do that, you're sabotaging your metabolism. So your body actually holds onto the fat, and instead for fuel, it starts eating your muscle. So as we just talked about, it starts eating your muscle, which then therefore starts dropping your metabolism. So when you finally do eat again, your metabolism's so low that you don't burn off all your food. So you actually end up gaining weight. And I see this over and over and over and over again. In fact, the majority of people who I've worked with as a personal training client in my past have undereaten. And undereating has been the hardest thing for them to overcome because it's counterintuitive. And we think that by eating less, we're going to lose weight. But sometimes we have to eat. Now we need to eat more of the right things. You need to be choosing the right types of food. But if you're eating less than what your body needs to survive, you're going to do some serious damage to your body, but also to your metabolism in the long term. And you can potentially set yourself up for some major weight issues for the rest of your life that are really hard to rebuild, because once you start sabotaging your metabolism, it's really hard to salvage it. Now, that being said, if you are all interested in exactly what your metabolism is, there is a test out there. You can get it done at any local nutritionist in your area, or some gyms do have these. It's called your RMR or your BMR. So your resting metabolic rate or your basal metabolic rate. Pretty much an interchangeable term. But you can go, and it's a simple test. You breathe into a machine for about 15 minutes. They take some information from you, and there's a scientific way to really determine exactly how many pounds of fat you have versus how many pounds of muscle you have. And this is what, it's an amazing, amazing printout that you'll get. It usually, the test, I would say, it usually costs about $100. And if it's possible for you to get that, I recommend it. I've had it done 2 or 3 times, and it has been transformational for my health and for my athletic goals. Because you see, I was, like I said, I did struggle with under eating, even when I knew better. But being an athlete my whole life, I actually found out that I had a lot more muscle than I thought. So since I had so much muscle, my metabolism was actually as high as many men's. And once I started eating more, I literally, guys, I had to add about 1,000 calories into my diet. It was scary to do, but I did it, and I lost that last 5 pounds. I leaned out, my abs got more defined. So it really is the only way to really customize and personalize your metabolism to know where are you at and where do you need to be. So if you're at all interested in that, find a nutritionist, find someone out there who's going to guide you and give you something very specific. It's way better than guesswork. It's worth your time and worth the investment in yourself. Next fitness myth. Ooh, doing crunches or working on the ab machine will get rid of belly fat. Oh, gosh, I wish this was true. Well, here's the reality. You can't spot reduce your body. So we certainly, when working with a client as a personal trainer, I can certainly work on your thighs or working on strengthening different parts of your body. And that ultimately is going to help you lose weight. And we can kind of target those areas, but it is absolutely impossible to spot reduce an area. And unfortunately, typically the part of our body that we want to change most is the last to budge. And that's just how the cookie crumbles. So but the reality with abs is you could do abs. Shoot, you could do sit-ups till the cows come home. You could do 2,000 sit-ups a day. It's not going to change your stomach. What changes your stomach, what flattens your belly, is lowering your sugar, watching your carbohydrate intake, and daily consistent exercise, making sure you're well hydrated. And to be honest, this might be surprising for you to know, making sure you're well rested. The more well rested you are, the higher your metabolism is going to be as well. When we cut sleep out of our life, there's this automatic increase of stress level. Now, what's interesting about stress, whether it's from sleep induced or lack of sleep induced, or it's actually a stress factor in your life, stress releases the hormone of cortisol in our body, and cortisol actually is known to store belly fat. So the more you stress out about your belly fat, or the more less you sleep, or the more you allow yourself to stress in reaction to your life and to your world, the less likely that belly fat's going to budge. So stomachs and six packs and abs and a flat stomach, or getting rid of your muffin tops or love handles, doesn't come from doing sit-ups. Now, doing sit-ups in your core work is essentially important, because the core, your abs and your lower back are the center of who you are. I mean, that's the center of your body. So you do want that strong. I'm not saying don't do crunches. I'm telling you that those aren't what's going to make your stomach go away. Eat right, sleep well, and hydrate well, and you'll start seeing those physical changes. Okay, more is always better. Now, that's a myth that I think once you start your fitness routine, you kind of get obsessed with. It's easy to get overboard. You have to rest. Your body absolutely needs rest. So please never exercise 7 days a week. Take one day off. Now, on your day off, you can do something light like walking, but more of something's not always better. So more running, not always better. More sets of something, not always better. The people that I see in the gym for 3 hours at a time, not always better. Actually, that often has adverse effects. You don't need to overdo it to get the results that you want. So I really encourage you that to look at this fitness journey as it's something that you really can balance in your life. It's maintainable. And at any point it seems unmaintainable, that should be a good sign to you to say, ooh, I'm probably overdoing it, which means I don't need to do all of this. Another myth. A protein bar is a good substitute for a meal. So no, a protein bar is never a good substitute for a meal. A protein bar is laden with tons of hidden sugars, tons of processed things. And it's like 200 calories. That's not enough for you to call a meal anyways. But what I do want to say about protein bars is there are some good ones out there. I personally like Quest bars, but there's a ton of good options out there. And I use them as a backup. I keep a box of protein bars in my car for emergencies or for when I travel. Because again, like I said, I prescribed that 3-hour rule, and I would much rather eat something processed than not eat anything at all. So if I'm going to eat something processed, I'm going to pick the best of all the evils, which is a healthy or organic protein bar. So it's not something I would recommend for you to have in your life on a daily basis, but it's a great thing to have as a backup and a snack for on the go, travel, living, driving, you name it. It's an important substitute and supplement, but it doesn't sustain you. I sort of also prescribe to trying to eat as many whole natural foods as possible. And I look at nutrition labels, and if something has more than 5 ingredients, that says to me, it's a little too processed. So I try to minimize anything that has more than 5 ingredients. That's not to say that I refuse to eat those things. It just says that I have them in smaller quantities. And, you know, a question that came up with one of my friends just this past week was the question about whey protein and protein shakes, because I do believe in protein shakes. In fact, I have one almost every day, because the more protein you get in your diet, the higher your metabolism is, because your metabolism is based off of your protein. So your muscle is made of protein. So really, if you want to feed your muscle and thereby feed your metabolism and thereby feed your fat burning ability and energy levels, you want to increase how much protein you're having in your daily diet. So a protein shake is a really great way to get a natural amount of protein, and you can get 20 grams to 40 grams in a sitting in just a shake. And they're delicious. You can mix it with almond milk or with water. My husband loves his with almond milk and blueberries. And I get chocolate or vanilla protein. But this one thing that my friend said, and something that I've heard many times, is that the options for what kind of protein shake to choose can be overwhelming. Now, I have some really, really close friends, and I know she's probably listening to this, one in particular who runs an amazing business that has high-end, quality protein. And is it ideal to choose those? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, if you don't know what to choose, and so you're so overwhelmed with all the choices that you just back off and get overwhelmed and don't choose anything, just choose something. I don't care where you get your protein, just get it to start. And then as you've implemented it into your diet and your routine, see how it is on your digestive tract. See if it's working well for you. If it's not, then look to upgrading to a higher quality protein. But wherever it is, don't let the overwhelming number of choices prevent you from saying, I'm gonna make this good choice as a supplement for my life. So a whey protein shake is a great breakfast. It's a great post-workout snack. It's easy to take on the go. There's a lot of, like I said, there's thousands of ways you can make the protein shake. But if you're not sure where to start, just start somewhere, and then you can keep refining that choice and find the right one for you. I also love making, there's some great recipes, sweet recipes that you can make that are low carbs, low sugars, and high protein that you can make with protein powder. One of my favorites to make are peanut butter protein balls. And I take peanut butter, chocolate whey protein, and a tiny bit of honey, and I mix them all together. And I make these tiny bowls, and they're amazing. They're an amazing, amazing dessert. I've even made them with vanilla protein and some like pumpkin mix. And then it's like a Thanksgiving treat. So protein powder is very adaptable and really easy to cook with as well. Okay. Next myth. Carbs are only found in bread and noodles. Oh, no. And let's talk about sugar, too. We're talking about sugars and carbs. Those are the sneakiest things that get in our diet. You know, and sugar in particular, sugar is as addictive as cocaine. And you would be astonished at the amount of sugar you're probably taking in. I recommend for my clients to consume 40 grams or less of sugar per day. And if you really are on a quest to get healthy, the one place I would have you start is with your sugar. So do me a favor and just try to track how many grams of sugar you're eating every day. And that means you're going to have to look at the labels and everything. And I think you'll be amazed to find that sugar's in bread, sugar's in what you drink, sugar is in things that you don't even think taste sugary. It's interlaced everywhere. So watch out and just start tracking and assess. Don't beat yourself up the first week. Give yourself a week long of tracking and figure out what your daily average of sugar intake is. Take that number and the next week try to cut it down by 5 or 10 grams. Keep cutting it until you get to 40 grams. And if you do that, your body will shed so much excess weight. It'll be ridiculous. And you also, what's so interesting about cutting your sugar is that you're going to realize how dulled out your taste buds were. When you reduce the amount of sugar in your life, when you finally do taste something with sugar again, it's so sweet. It's overwhelmingly sweet. So you actually need less than you originally ever would have eaten. But carbs are everywhere, just like sugar. So a lot of people, I think, make the mistake, the fitness myth, that fruit is always a good choice. And fruit for weight loss is not always a good choice. It depends upon what fruit you're eating and what time of day you're eating that fruit. So a lot of people sabotage their own weight loss efforts by eating fruit 5 or 6 times a day. And the problem with fruit is that it's high in carbohydrates and it's also high in sugar. Now, that's not a problem if you eat it first thing in the morning or right before a workout. But if you're eating it consistently throughout the day and then as your nighttime snack, chances are you're reverting all the good progress you've made, and that's why you're stagnant. So carbs and sugars are everywhere. So just start educating yourself and knowing your labels. And finally, let's do one more here. The more you sweat, the more you burn. So there's this false conception and an idea that to have a really good workout, you need to be dead on the ground, exhausted, CrossFit style, like sprawled on the floor, almost throwing up. And that's just not true. And I want you to hear this because I want you to know that fitness is a lot more attainable than we make it out to be. Fitness is a lifestyle. This is something that you should be able to continue to do in your 70s and 80s. And I love working hard, but I don't know about you. Working out till I throw up when I'm 70, 80 is not going to work for me. And so exertion level and sweat level is not always a good baseline of assessment. In fact, your sweat level is really just determined by how hot it is and wherever you're exercising, and also how much water or hydration you've had that day. Also, knowing that every workout, not only does it not need to be super intense, but it simply is not healthy for your body to have that intense of a workout. In fact, what I recommend for my running clients and my personal training clients is that you have, if you're looking at a 6-day week of exercise, you want to have 2 of those 6 days be challenging, be very challenging days. Those are your high intensity days. And then you're going to have 2 days of recovery that are sprinkled in there. And then those final 2 days are going to be that in between. So you have 2 low days, 2 medium effort days, and 2 hard days, because your body needs that fluctuation. First off, it needs the variety and variation, because our bodies are a lot smarter than we give it credit for. So our bodies can get bored with what we're doing, which is why often if you start a routine and it works for you and you keep repeating it and it keeps working and working, and then all of a sudden you hit a plateau and you see no more results, well, it's because your body is used to what you're doing. You have to change it up. You have to confuse those muscles, mix it up with more variety, and change it up. So the same thing goes with your workout exertion levels. The more you change up the types of workouts you do, actually the more physiological benefits you're going to get from those workouts. Even the easy workouts will benefit you in ways that the high-intensity workouts don't always necessarily. I hope that has helped you guys with some of the fitness myths to realize that fitness is a lot easier than we give it credit for. All you have to do is start. Approach it with an educated, balanced, knowledgeable, and optimistic sense, and find something that you enjoy doing. Find something that you love, and focus instead of focusing on how many calories you're burning or what the scale says. Let me ask you this. Are you enjoying moving your body? Are you feeling more in tune with yourself and more alive in the skin you're in? Because you're making that progress and you feel good. That's the best measure of success you can ever have. And I want to close out today with a listener of the episode. I'm really excited. It's a little bit of a long email, but it's a great one. So I have to share it, and I'm really excited. We have a listener friend in Auckland, New Zealand, and here's what she says. She says, "Hey, Trish, I'm Chloe from New Zealand. I listen to your podcast in the car every day in the morning on my way to placement as a medical student. You've completely changed the way I think. I keep cycling through all of your episodes so that I get to hear some motivational speaking every morning. As part of training to be a doctor, we have been given the task of completing a portfolio to show evidence that we're developing both professionally and personally throughout our training. I wanted to share with you a section from my portfolio." Now, pause. Chloe, I'm not sure if you know this, and those of you who do listen to some episodes on repeat for some motivation, I want you to make sure you know about the Trish Talk Network. That's right. There is a Trish Talk Network, which is 24/7 streaming podcasting. All you have to do is go to trishblackwell.com/Trish Talk and you press play, and you will be thrown into an episode, one of 100 episodes that I have cycling on repeat and randomization 24/7. So if, even if you just need a 5-minute boost, you don't want to listen to a whole episode, but you just want some Trish, you can think about this as an opportunity to have me on the go all the time. Now, on your mobile devices, if you download my app, Motivate Me, there's a whole section in there that it's the Trish Talk Network, so you have quick, easy access to just press play. Again, it's 24/7 free streaming podcasts episodes for you, so you don't have to go into iTunes and choose one and find which subject you want. You just get whatever is playing. And you can get Motivate Me in the iTunes store. And I want you to think about it as Trish Talk is an opportunity to have me in your pocket all the time so that I can keep you motivated and accountable. Okay, back to Chloe's letter. Here's what she says. 2014 has been a fantastic year in terms of exploring my own mental health, identifying areas of weakness and strength, identifying things I can do better, and which activities really help me be in the best mental health I can be. An instrumental part of this has been listening to podcasts by an American woman called Trish Blackwell, who does a weekly podcast called Confidence on the Go. In one of her early episodes, she describes the brain as being similar to a muscle. It requires training and constant, daily, intentional work to foster a healthy mental state. Through her podcast, I've seen the value in consistently reflecting on my mental state and identifying healthy behaviors to practice. This not only will help me build resilience in myself for the future, but it will give me help to emphasize with patients in my future practice and give me tools to use so that I can suggest ways in which patients can help deal with their own mental health issues. One of the most useful activities that has been suggested to me in the podcast by Trish is the Daily Gratitude Diary. I now have an app on my phone called Gratitude 365 where you can record your daily gratitudes. It's a great suggestion for those of you looking for a new way to do a gratitude journal. Doing this daily reminds me of all the positive things in my life and helps me center my mind towards positive thinking. This in turn helps me, particularly in times of stress or worry, to remember that things that bring me joy and happiness, no matter how small these gratitudes seem. She continues in her letter. She says, "I recently run my second half marathon in Sydney and was very proud to achieve a time of 2 hours and 1 minute. Girl, that's awesome. That's awesome. Given that I was aiming for under 2 hours, I was initially upset that I hadn't reached my target time. However, because of your podcast, I was able to turn this around completely through positive thinking. Instead of feeling like a failure, I decided to celebrate this achievement and focus my attention on what I have learned from this event and what I could do better next time. I'm currently training for my third half marathon, which is in 5 weeks' time. I've downloaded your app, Couch to Half Marathon, and have been using it to keep track of my training. With hard work, I know I can achieve my goal and perhaps run an even run a full marathon next year. However, I now feel that no matter what happens on the day, I will approach it with a positive attitude and determination thanks to the behaviors and thoughts you have fostered in me. Much love and gratitude, Chloe Humphrey. So Chloe, that's awesome. And good luck to you in your upcoming half marathon. And for those of you who are out there who are looking at continuing to run half marathons, and maybe you've used my initial app, Couch to Half Marathon, do know that I have the next step app for you. It's called PR, Your Half Marathon. It's how to really take your first half marathon or your second or third and really get a personal record on your next one. So it actually a little bit different than the first app in that it includes some speed training, some heart rate target zones, and a little bit of higher intensity distance training so that you can get that time goal that you want. But Chloe, that's awesome stuff all around. And what I so love about your story is that you're taking the things that you're learning right now, you're applying them to yourself in a very deep way, and you're going to profoundly be able to use those in your own medical practice down the road. So keep spreading the love. And guys, please keep sharing your successes with me. You can share with me via email. My email is trish@trishblackwell.com. Give me a shout on Twitter, which is @trainertrish. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/trishblackwellfitness. And you can hit me up on Instagram @TrainTrishTrain. Or, gosh, I love hearing your voice. Send me a voicemail. Just go to my website. You'll see the leave a voicemail option. I'd love to hear from you. And what's cool about that is I can send you a voicemail back. So I'll send you a personalized voicemail back on that as well. And guys, that's it for today. Now go out there with confidence, courage, and compassion. Love the skin you're in today. And just go be you.
Thanks for listening. You can get more resources and coaching from Trish at www.trishblackwell.com. And if you love the show, please post a review in iTunes so that more people can join in on this community of confidence. Now, go conquer your day with confidence.